Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is the blurry-eyed Andy Shea. Andy, how you doing today?
Morning. Hello, everybody out there. Please be kind and gentle to your more life-seasoned individuals who had a very late night working. Thank you for your kindness in advance.
Well, you know, full disclosure for everyone listening either on the radio, podcast version, the show's not live because of those factors, where it goes for the radio, how for the podcast. We are actually recording on Thursday morning. So you said last night you were working, Andy.
I was. Yes.
You were. Share with us, though, the definition of you working last night.
Well, I work with uplifting athletes, and last night we had one of our uplifting experiences. We had a couple rare disease patients and families, and we had some chapter leaders from Drexel from the field hockey program, and so we had some of our college student athletes there. Well, I just call them athletes. They're pros now. And we were at the Philadelphia Union game. They had a U.S. Open Cup game last night against the Indiana 11. So it was a beautiful night on the Delaware River at Subaru Park. Just a glorious May evening. And it was awesome to see the families and meet their kids and stuff. And they had a wonderful evening. So it was an awesome night. It's just, the game went long. Like, the Union were playing a non-MLS team because it's the Open Cup. Not many people know soccer, but in the Open Cup, you play teams from upper and lower divisions, and they were playing a team from a division below them, and it was tied 1-1 after regulation. They played 30 minutes of overtime, tied 1-1, so they went to penalty kick. So it was a rather late night return on the famed Pennsylvania Turnpike and Schuylkill Expressway for myself.
And just understand, Andy lives in the Harrisburg area, so it's the drive from Philadelphia back to the Harrisburg area. And yes, Andy, you are no longer a young man.
So. Now, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was, Jimmy. Come on.
Fair enough. All right, Andy. Enough of the prelude here. How about we get right to it? Let's get to some college football, and I promise I will be gentle with you. And as always, you know, I love lists. Always do. They're fun to talk about. Somebody puts out their list, and we're at that time of the year where folks are putting out their top 10, top 20, top 25 lists for the 2025 college football season. And Joel Klatt put out his top 25. First of all, Andy, I'll say it first. I'm a Joel Klatt fan. I think he's pretty good at his job. I think he knows what he's talking about. I think if he puts out something on college football, I will pay attention to it.
Yeah, no, I'm a Joel Klatt fan as well. I think he's really good at his job. I liked his partner better a decade ago. I think he's lost in his shtick and forgot he's pretty good at calling sports, and his shtick has taken over. But Joel is really good. Joel and Herb Street, you know, like this, like their personalities at for what they do, they're the two best out there. There's everybody else is fighting for third place, and it's a mile between those two and everybody else. Everybody else.
I tend to agree. So that's all to say that when Joel Klatt puts out an opinion, I will respect it. And I think it made a lot of news. He had Penn State as his number one ranked team. Now, don't jump the gun, Andy. We will get into our argument that we had off the air yesterday. But first of all, just the idea that Joel Klatt has Penn State as his number one team, your thought on that?
It's bold, right? I understand. It makes sense. I think the 12-team college football and what is this, year three, year four of the modern transfer portal, the free agent transfer portal, right? Like, let's just call it year three of the free agent transfer portal where free agents are now making money, right? Like, this is year three of that. There's starting to be some settle. The transfer portal has created more parity. So I think you're looking at, rather than, you're saying two out of five true bloods that are either one or two, you can look outside the box. Roster retention has become paramount in this modern transfer portal area. So that's where part of your free agency or your resources are going. I think it's bold. I think it goes along with what I had been saying. Joel, not because Joel and I are seeing the same things, but we're looking at some of the things. I think you have to say, you look at James as the head coach of that program and you say, is he going the direction that his roster's going as a coach? I think he is, right? So there's a lot of pieces in place that say, yeah, why not, right? It's still bold. I have a couple, issues with, maybe put him two or three. Putting him at the top means, they've crossed the finish line in some shape or form, in my opinion. They've gotten over some kind of hump or to another level. And they haven't done that. So they're missing a key component, which is they know how to get where they want to go. They don't. They've never gotten there. So every team wants to get there, but there's steps along the way. And, they come up short on some of those for me, but are they one of the top three teams roster-wise in this country returning? Yep. Do they have two fantastic coordinators running their offense and defense? Yep. Do they have a coach actually sort of at the next level coming into his own as a CEO and, program manager and director of this massive program? Yep. He's getting better at coaching, folks. The last 6 months was as good as he ever has done as the Penn State head football coach in the coaching of the football. It was clear and obvious. He's hit his next level. So there's a lot of those pieces in place. And let's face it, offensively, 1, 2, and 3. One quarterback, two running backs. Nobody's got where you go 1, 2, 3 deep. Nobody's got it. Nobody else has what Penn State has. When you look at offensive weapons and you go, give me your 1, 2, and 3. Nobody's got it like Penn State's got it with those two running backs and that quarterback.
Andy, there's a lot to unpack here, and you hit on a lot of different points. Let me respond to a couple of them. I think it's bold in that it's not one of the, I'll say, three teams that you expect, Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State over the last decade. Maybe you threw Clemson in there,
early,
a few years back, early in that past decade. And if you just pick one of those teams, it was a safe pick and the way to go. I do believe, though, and I'm not sure it's entirely about NIL and the transfer portal. I'm sure it's part of it. But over the last couple of years, I think we've had more parity, which surprises people. The thought was NIL the rich would get richer.
Right.
But what I think happened, and again, all of this is just theory, and I'm not sure we've gone through enough years to get a conclusion, but there's the rich, and then there's even a smaller subset, which is the elite, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. I'll call them the elite. But there's enough other teams that are still included among the rich, Oregon, Texas A&M, LSU, you know, probably Clemson and Notre Dame, and maybe you could put Penn State in that group, that NIL maybe has been a bit of an equalizer. And perhaps, Andy, more about the other word you used, retention.
Yes, retention.
Rather than bringing in from outside. And I think over the last couple of years, Michigan, national champion 2 years ago, very veteran team that kept that team together. Last year, Ohio State had a lot of players who could have gone to the next step, gone to the NFL. They chose to stick around for another year. And yes, they complemented it with, you know, portal players, most obvious at quarterback, but they it was about retention. So with that in mind, I think this Penn State team, you and I had discussed this on this show for the last couple of years, that 2024 was probably when that window closed for them.
Yeah, we were saying that because we didn't know what it was. There such infancy stages of NIL and free agency, right? Well, transfer portal, free agency, and it's had a stark polar opposite effect, and it's roster retention has become just as important, if not more important, than who you get in the transfer portal to fill your holes and who you recruit to build your roster from the ground up.
Andy, that's exactly it. It's not those teams, Michigan, Ohio State, and now Penn State this year. It wasn't about the transfers, Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, Denai Dennis Sutton. Nick Dawkins.
Yeah.
It's about the NIL and saying, you know what? You can make money still here in college. You don't have to go to the NFL to do it. I think these guys came back for more than just money.
They did.
But money's a piece of it. If it's like
money's the bus driver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally making zero in college or making something in the NFL. It's an easy choice financially, but it's like, hey, it may even be more money and guaranteed money in college as a draw to bring these players back. All right, Andy, we're going to keep up this conversation when we get back right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy is in recovery mode here in quarter number two.
Yes, sir.
Andy, you're doing well.
Thank you.
Like a young man, okay? You don't seem to have that old man hangover from being out late last night. I appreciate that. You're a gamer.
Thank you. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was.
All right. Well, how's this for a segue? Speaking of being out and about, got a little this is something you might be interested in, Andy, because it's down in your area. You know, we're working quite a bit with Happy Valley United. That is the Penn State Collective. They put on some great events. And get this, next Friday, that's Friday, May 16th, Happy Valley United is sponsoring an event with the Penn State baseball team. Andy, the baseball team is going to be in your neighborhood on City Island, all right?
At the Harrisburg Senators baseball stadium?
Exactly. They're actually playing a game, a game against Xavier. And for those of you who've never been there, City Island, it's literally, Andy, an island out in the river.
Correct. It's literally an island in the middle of the river, and it has a baseball stadium on it.
And they got the walking bridge from downtown over to the ball game. If you've never been there to see, like, the Harrisburg minor league team, I've been down there. I know you have, Andy. What a great facility. And Penn State baseball playing an actual game there. There's going to be a lot of events. They're going to be in a suite there. Just go to happyvalleyunited.com and you could get a lot more information. But it's a great event, great way to entertain the kids. That it's next Friday night, so it's not a school night. A lot of fun. I'm actually, Andy, going to try to make it down for that.
If you make it down, I'm not 100% sure I'm free Friday night, but I can always check my schedule. Did you know the ballpark was recently renovated too? Just past off season.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They've done some renovations and upgrades to the ballpark. It's already plenty of parking on City Island. Is there an entrance fee? Is there a small entrance fee to get in the game?
Yes, there is, and you could get.
I would expect that.
You could go into the suite with the folks that are sponsoring it, Happy Valley United. They've got a lot of things going on. They have sponsor opportunities, a lot of different things going on before the game, a tailgate before the game. You know, ooh. I'm always about tailgating, Andy. So, again, for full details, happyvalleyunited.com. All right, Andy, let's get back to college football. And we had the situation with Penn State being – projected number one by Joel Klatt, and I think he has enough authority that you're going to pay attention when Joel Klatt says something. Yep. And let me just go through like the top five or six. He has Penn State number one, Texas number two, Ohio State third, Oregon fourth, then Clemson, then Notre Dame. Rounding out the top 10, it's LSU, Georgia, Alabama. Some familiar names there. And at number 10, Illinois.
First another Big Ten team.
Yes, another Big Ten team. First of all, Andy, you and I had quite a discussion yesterday. Does something not fit as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I just don't think Penn State fits as we made a case, and I said I understand it. I just, from my ranking eyes, I'm like, I don't think that's earned. I understand why Joel ranked him. And I honestly, frankly, if I was doing rankings, I'd consider and be tempted to it as well. But I have some secondary stuff when I do listy things, since you love lists. When I do listy things, I always try and find some markers and barriers. And I don't think they've crossed the finish line to get that call. However, having said that, there's a secondary part to the top three players in terms of offensive weapons, and it's their offensive line. Deep, talented, full of NFL talent. That is a bigger factor than you think. There's some holes on defense, but program-wise, like crossing over a threshold, getting to another level. Yes, they won two playoff games. They got to the Big Ten championship game again last year. Didn't win. That's fantastic. Like, you and I were arguing late in the year. Maybe they don't want to get there. Maybe. And I was like, no! You want to play. You want to play for championships. You want to win championships. When there's T-shirts, hats, and banner games, you want to be in them. National playoff semifinal. Chance to play for the national championship. So, came up a little short, you know. They last 3 years, five conference losses. That's it to two teams, right? Michigan and Ohio State. They've lost to Ohio State three times and Michigan twice in the last 3 years in the conference. That's it. By the way, those two teams are the back-to-back defending national champions, respectively. Michigan, the last year of the 14 playoff. Ohio State, first year of the 12-team playoff. Quality, high-quality losses. Their overall losses, like for example, their other losses, Oregon, aforementioned championship game, Big Ten. Notre Dame, aforementioned college football playoff, and they lost to Ole Miss. That's it. All of those teams are top 20 going into 2025. Three of them are top six. So they're not losing games they shouldn't win. They're exceptionally good at that. It's they need to win one then some of a next level game. Get a banner. Win a hat and t-shirt game. You know, something along those lines to put them at that. However, the counterpoint is, and you, the roster screams one of, if not the best team in the country. It just screams at you. We got dudes. So it's a very sticky one for me to navigate. It's a bold call by Joel. And I'll be honest, if I was doing rankings, I don't think I'd be bold enough to make that call.
Real quick, who would you have as your number one?
Probably Texas.
Okay. Now, to understand where I had an issue or still have an issue with what you say is – you talk in terms of like this threshold that Penn State didn't get over to warrant, you know, a number one pick or, you know, a projected number one team. And it's hard to win a national championship. And I think the playing field has leveled out a bit.
Yep.
But if you use history as your guide, and by that it's as you have, you know, it's like, what have they won? You know, and I think there's the three teams that I've mentioned before, Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. They've won, and they've won consistently in the last decade. Andy, if in the last 8 years or so, you picked one of those three teams to be your national champion, it was a pretty safe and a pretty good pick. And if you're using that as your history, as teams have been there, done it, I think you're talking about those three teams. Where I have an issue is that if you take like an Oregon, a Texas, a Clemson, well, let me take Clemson out of it because they're yep. an odd pick because they've won national championships, but it's been a few years. Let me separate Clemson out and just go like Texas, Oregon, Notre Dame. I don't think there is a separation between those teams unless you create, I'm calling it a bit of an artificial line. Oregon, yes, they won the Big Ten championship. They beat Penn State, so they quote-unquote won a championship. Notre Dame, when I brought them up to you in our argument, you didn't say, oh, they won a championship. What you said was they got to the championship game.
That's a big step. Penn State hasn't made that step.
But it's an incremental step on the way up. Yep. And I don't think that there's a – although teams do have a tendency to improve, in college you have such turnover. You know, it's like Michigan didn't go from, make that step. They were a one or two – I'll call them a two-hit wonder because they made back-to-back playoffs. And they are – you know, not considered one of the elite teams right now. So I don't think you can single Penn State out. I think Penn State belongs among the group. If you want to separate out Alabama, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, I get it. I understand. They've won national championships in the recent years. They've been in the playoffs over the recent year when it was a four-team playoff. Now, in this new college football world where there's more parity, I think Penn State does belong with the Oregons, the Texases, the Notre Dames. Now, being number one, though, it's you mentioned, you know, if you were to pick, it would be Texas.
Texas or Ohio State. It would be Texas or Ohio State.
What about those two teams makes you say that's the way you would go?
I think Texas has a one team problem, not a they don't have an overall performance against quality teams. I like Arch Manning as a dual threat quarterback. I think Sarkisian has done a good job of, in a short period of time, steering them off a desert island. That's hard. So I like the direction they're trending. They have a Georgia problem, right? Like, that's just drop. Penn State has an Ohio State problem. Well, Texas has a Georgia problem, right? Like, so I think, yeah, so this is what we're talking about. This is the parody that college football has created for us in 2025. When the power, and I'll keep this really short, Jimmy, because I know we're almost done. When it was about coaches and recruiting, they had all the power and recruiting ruled the day. The end result was the same three or four teams, right? Like, because it was shrunk. Now that it has expanded and developed, players can move and free agency is in play. It has, and it's more balance of power because the athletes are paid. It has completely turned upside down and leveled the playing field across the board. And we're still learning what that looks like.
All right, Andy. In quarter number four, I'm going to make my choice for number one.
But it's Penn State. Oh, sorry.
Before we get there, it's Ask Andy when we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number three. And you know, forget Ask Andy. Andy, no. I just cut him off. He's gone. He ruined my... No.
I need some outside questions. I need a respite, Jimmy.
You know what, Andy? I will point out, you try to jump the gun and say, I pick Penn State as the number one team. How many years have we done this show, Andy?
You're jumping on, Jimmy.
Andy, how many
decade?
Years?
A decade?
Okay. How many times... I think you want to paint me as the Penn State homer in those 10 years... How many times have I picked Penn State to be the number one team in the country?
Smartly, zero.
Zero. Okay. Right. So don't insinuate. Don't paint this as Jim's the homer. All right. Let's move on. Let's get to your questions. Let's ask Andy. Matt from Massachusetts, because Andy wants a respite from Jim's questions.
Thank goodness.
Matt from Massachusetts says, Jim and Andy.
Oh.
Excluding Penn State, what are your top three college football team entrances? And Andy, I don't know if you saw this. I think it was Adam Brenneman did something very recently about this, the top entrances in college.
Oh, football. No, I didn't have to see it, but I would love that because he's got a player, inside player perspective.
And,
yeah.
And a couple other places I've read recently have done this. I know it's one of those questions that catches you off guard that you probably needed time to think about it.
Nope.
Do you have – okay, go ahead. Let's see if yours match mine.
Number one, Enter Sandman, Virginia Tech. Absolutely number one. Number two, Penn State. Whiteout would make it a strong candidate for a 1B. But every other game, Penn State is a top three. And third in my book is, man, I'm down to two schools.
No, you want Andy? Give them both. Give them both.
I love Notre Dame's. I like Notre Dame's, and I am a huge fan. Maybe it's because of the band in it. I think Michigan does a cool one as well with the sign, and I think Michigan has a good one as well. But Virginia Tech and Enter Sandman, there's just, you know, it's on my bucket list. There's a few things on my bucket list, and that sporting things wise, and that is at the top.
Do you know what, Andy? On Monday's show, I have Mike Villagrana on. He's now the executive director at Happy Valley United. He came back to Penn State from Virginia Tech.
Oh, so he knows.
So I'm going to ask him about it, because I'm with you. Enter Sandman, Virginia Tech. It's wild. It's fun. It's great. It's rocking.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. I'll give you a couple others. And they were all, these aren't anything new, or it's in these lists. Is how about Colorado with the Buffalo?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Florida State with the Native American on the horse. That one's really cool.
With the spear, you know, into the ground. Love that.
Oklahoma in the wagon. Love it.
Yep. Yeah. That kind of stuff is great. How about Auburn with the eagle?
Oh, yeah. It's, you have to know it to see it and appreciate it and know it's coming. But yeah, that one would be pretty cool as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Our listeners know, I've mentioned it before. I went down to Penn State at Auburn. That was one of the things that pregame I was like all over that, Andy. It is cool. It is very cool.
Good question, Matt.
But you know what it is overall, Andy?
It's fun.
It's college football. It's the stuff that makes college football so special. And those people want to complain about transfer portal, NIL. You know what? Right. The fun stuff is still going on.
They're ruining the game.
Gosh,
as long as they still have this stuff, Andy.
How many of my grumpy old men friends complain and like send me text messages? I'm ruining the game. And I'm like, you know what, Andy? Like you're not 60-something. Come on.
I'm going to pat you and I on the back for old men, grumpy old men. Okay. I think we both will agree. We're both grumpy old men. But with that said, I think we still love college football and everything that comes with it.
Yeah. I tell people I can do noon to midnight without even blinking an eye and multiple screens. Like, I can't do the quad box. You know, the quad boxes, Jimmy, that they have now?
Yeah.
I can't do it because I don't know which one to watch. Can't do that. I would rather have my big screen have one, my laptop have another, and if I need a third, I'll pull the game up on my phone and stream on three different devices. Noon to midnight, I could do it.
The only thing I don't like, Andy, now I'm, you know, like everybody else streaming, is there's not like just the back button to get to from this to that, especially if they're on different things, you know, like if Peacock is covering this one or that. So,
right. But that's why you have different devices. One on your TV, have another streaming service here, and you go there. But on streaming, you can go back.
Listen to Andy. He's the expert here. All right, let's move on, or we'll only get to one question.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Don from State College. This is a question for both of you. Finally, these listeners have figured out, Andy, including me, means I'll read their question.
Sigh.
Don says, I feel like there are two camps of Penn State fans. Those who are all in for James Franklin and those who are ready for a reset. Which camp do each of you reside in?
Don, go ahead and touch them all, sir. Make your trot nice and slow because you hit it out of the park. There is very, very, very little in the middle. Very little of the Penn State, the good Penn State fan base. You either are, yep, good, great, love it, or you're losing your ever-loving, God-fearing, decent person mind. So
I thought I was scared you were going to use a different word. I'm good.
I was more in the middle, leaning towards the strong and favorable side until, in my analysis and opinion, The best way to put it is, as a business and organization, when you go to the next level, you tip. I think personally, individually, as a I've said it for a decade, you know, the 3 to 4 hours on Saturday, right? That's the sore spot. That's the James Franklin sort of weakness. And it was evident. And I think he's tipped. I really do. I saw it's not a one game wonder either. It's a body of work type thing. It's when you were punched in the mouth, when it got hard for you, when it got difficult last season. It was his team performed above expectations, and the way he guided that ship was next level, and it was not just a one game wonder. So I understand the two camps. I think he's outstanding at what he does.
Andy, I think those our listeners who've listened to me talk know that I'm in James Franklin's camp. But I don't think that means I can't be critical of him. It doesn't mean I haven't been critical of him. And I think sometimes he doesn't have the best feel for the game. I think the issue, Andy, is always he hasn't won the big game yet. And you know what the thing is with coaches who have that reputation? They carry it until they actually do win the big game. And I'll give you Jay Wright, Villanova basketball coach. Until he actually won, it was always Villanova couldn't win in the tournament. They always got knocked out early. Well, he got over that hump. Kirby Smart had to deal with it too. Even right. Dabo Swinney early on, it was, you know, he always Clemson, Dabo'd the game.
Yeah, Clemson and Clemsoning.
Yep.
Ryan Day at Ohio State, more talent than anybody else year after year, can't win anything.
Yep. You got to get over that hump. Hopefully, from my perspective anyway, hopefully James Franklin could do that. All right.
Well, did you just acknowledge getting over a hump and getting across a finish line?
Moving on. Sorry, Gibby. Our next question is Jason from Ashburn, Virginia.
Hi, Jason.
Who says, okay, guys, here's your food question of the week.
I love you, man.
How do you handle a noon game as far as a breakfast tailgate?
Oh, they're the best. I know they're the worst in terms of
they're also the best.
They're the best because you get to do the monster mash. You get to mix and match. You do brunch. There is nothing. I love breakfast. We like to eat, right? If you saw us in person, you'd be like, hey, you boys love your chow. Yeah, we do. Brunch. There's like six different are you breakfast heavy? Are you lunch heavy? Are you balanced? What are your breakfast options? What are your brunch options to go with it? You know, you want to have a cohesive menu. It's a regular 3:30 game or a night game. Easy tailgating. Your favorite tailgate food. Wings, ribs, burgers, sausages, whatever that is. Across the board. Dips, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you can you can even do specialty drinks. Are you doing Bloody Marys, mimosas, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, of course, you're going to have, you know, a cooler full of your favorites. But across the board, you get to blend. And the 12 o'clock game offers the greatest blended option. You can start at 7:30 or 8, and, you know, you've got 3 hours of dual menuing ahead of you. And then you also can plan for the postgate because it's still not dinner time. Oh, fantastic. The best. Absolute best. Brunch across the board.
All right, Andy. You know what? I was going to offer, I had some tidbits of advice for a breakfast tailgate, but you got so excited and had so much momentum that we're up against the break and following again in a Jim and Andy tradition, my answer, I'm going to have it spill over into the fourth quarter, okay? Because that's, Andy, that is what we do, right?
Right. You're going to go into the fourth quarter before you surprise us with your who's number one pick for you in 2025. Yes, sir.
Stop it, Andy. All right. That's the end of quarter number three. Stick around. Lots more to go in quarter four.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number four of our show. Andy, getting rather spry here. After a late night out last night, he's getting his momentum going. Andy, we finished up quarter number three and Ask Andy with Jason from Ashburn, who was asking, how do we handle noon games as far as the breakfast tailgate? You went off on your excitement for the breakfast tailgate, did not give me the opportunity to give out some practical advice, okay, on breakfast tailgates. Here you go, Andy. Couple things.
All right.
You familiar with like the Blackstone griddle?
Duh.
Okay, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I have a version. I have a tabletop version, which means it's easy to travel.
Yeah, I know the tabletop version of a Blackstone griddle.
Throw it in the back of the car.
Yep.
For breakfast, man, tailgate, you now, the whole world opens up to you, Andy. Bacon and pancakes and everything else. Okay, that's number one. Number two, here's a little breakfast item that will knock you out, make you the hit at your breakfast tailgate. You cook your bacon ahead of time, Andy. Then you do pancakes, not round pancakes, but you set your pancake down and you do your bacon down, and then you run the pancake batter along the bacon. You cook it. It now becomes finger food. The pancake with the piece of bacon embedded. And to add to it, Andy, just like at the restaurants or the fast food places, go online. You could get the little syrup packets, the individual packets. So individual servings, Andy. The other thing is.
Can I stay with you on this?
Yes.
We're on the same theme. Pigs in a blanket, Jimmy, with proper English sausage, and you have to have syrup. Yes, I would go pigs in a blanket. You're going bacon crumble, finger food. We're down the same path in terms of one option. One.
Also, Andy, I like you could get the little biscuits at your grocery store, real inexpensive. Again, cook those ahead of time. Take them in. You make little breakfast sliders with them, and you could do whatever you want in making those sliders. Exceptional. And of course you hit it also with the drinks, the Bloody Mary mix. You know our buddy Andrew who does the go to goldhenllc.com. Their Bloody Mary mix, phenomenal. Plus any drink with orange juice in it, Andy, works
it's
for
good.
Breakfast, right?
Yep.
Screwdriver, mimosa. All right. Let's move on. There's our food advice. Keep sending those food questions in.
Oh, Jason. So, thank you, sir.
Andy, all right. I teased early on, and you tried to spoil my surprise by me picking my number one team in the country. I am going to go with those Penn State Nittany Lions, Andy.
Really?
First time in a decade.
And oh, Andy, hiding behind the long time thing. No, I get it. I get it.
But you know what, Andy? I'm wording this very carefully. I'm not predicting a national championship for them, because I think that's really hard to do now.
Very difficult. A lot of factors.
I think there's parity, and I think there's a good number of teams that you could pick, and it's a reasonable, maybe 8-10 teams. But I think Penn State is positioned as well or better than anybody else, Andy, for a few things. You hit on some of them. As far as returning quarterbacks, Drew Aller, who are the quarterbacks that you would place ahead of Drew Aller that are returning to college football?
Maybe the kid at LSU.
Was that Nussmeier?
Yeah, Nussmeier at LSU.
Klubnik at Clemson?
Yeah, him and Aller are very similar. Those would be, that's pretty easy. Those are the three.
So he's one of probably the top two or three at least.
Right.
Okay. How many running back, the backfield, would you pick ahead of Catron Allen and Nick Singleton?
Are you talking a back or are you talking a tandem?
I'm just calling it the running back room, Andy.
I would put Love ahead of both of them at Notre Dame for sure. And then I would probably go those two next.
Okay. So top two. And I think one could argue the fact that, Penn State has two of them versus one.
Yeah. A tandem in the country, they're one by a mile. Nobody has two like they have.
Picking Love as the number one among them, that's fair.
Good running back. Really good.
Really good running back. But to have the depth, to have two of them, to have, instead of, you know, running one back 35 times to be able to split those runs.
I get it all, yeah. Notre Dame's got some help for him. But, yes, it's a really fine shave. But as a 1-2 tandem, there's nobody else. You talk about Penn State's duo, and then please stop and don't talk to me.
How many offensive lines would you place above Penn State's?
None. No, I think they have a dominant, elite, and deep offensive line returning. And they lost J.B. Nelson, part of their depth package. It doesn't really move the needle in terms of hurting them. So, amazing.
Still, it's quality and quantity there.
Yeah, it's
coordinators, Andy. Kotelnicki, Jim Knowles. How many? It's hard to quantify that. But
defensively, top five. Offensively, top 10.
Okay.
Safely.
You know, how many other teams could probably say that? Probably just the elite.
Yeah, a handful. But Penn State, they've got all the pieces are there, Jimmy. We talked about it earlier. Yeah, there's pieces. Defense,
Now I think they have in deny Dennis Sutton at defensive end.
They have a monster.
Shane Durant as defensive tackle.
They got a guy
Harris at cornerback. I think right there are three elite players.
Yeah, and I mean, come on. They're a team that came out of spring ball, and James Franklin stood there and said, waving sort of red hurricane flags. Anybody want to play linebacker? We come see us. We're interested. And what do they get? Arguably the first or second linebacker that was in the portal and available, Amir Campbell, from North Carolina. Oh, all the guy did was have 76 tackles, 11 TFLs, 6.5 sacks, and a forced fumble last year. Hello?
Not
production.
Not too shabby. And I think also, and Andy, I'm not ready to anoint this wide receiver room.
No.
Anything yet.
Nothing.
But kind of piggybacking on your linebacker theory, they identified wide receiver as an area they got to do something about. They went out and got three guys. They took three shots at it, Andy. Okay. And I think they took three pretty good shots at it. So
they took their swing and see if they can connect with the ball.
This is a team that's going for it. Now, if you ask me, Andy, for the national championship, would I take Penn State or the field? I'd take the field, okay?
Yeah, you always take the field.
Because there's enough parity there. But I don't see another team that I would take ahead of Penn State. I'll go even further, Andy. Here's my prediction for the season, all right? And I'm going to say that they have two big games, Oregon at home, Ohio State on the road. Going 12-0 is really hard to do. I say they beat Oregon at home. They lose to Ohio State on the road. They face Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. And you know, candidly, if they once they beat Oregon, if that's the way it works, it almost is irrelevant whether they win or lose the Ohio State game. Then,
possibly, yeah, you're correct.
If they lose one game, maybe even if they lose two, it doesn't affect them as far as making the playoffs.
They lost twice last year and got in the Big Ten championship.
Right. But they, well, they had only one loss going into that, Andy. Lost that game as their second loss.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
And then eventually, you know, lost the third game in the playoffs.
So, but Joel Klatt talks a lot. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Joel Klatt, and we've been talking about because his rankings, he put Penn State one. He, and I liked one. This is one of another sort of one of the undertow things I really, he talks about out rostering. He doesn't just look at one side of the ball or the elite players only. He goes deep, right? Like, that's why I like Joel so much. He's like, out roster. Which roster? Whose roster is deeper? Go 1 through 20, right? Top 20 players on your roster. 1 through 20, stack them up. Find me a better 1 through 20 roster in the country than Penn State. Even with the glaring wide receiver problem, still, despite that, they're a zero. You're not going to land one of their – I'm not going to put one of their receivers on their top 20 of their roster. But go roster 1 through 20. You're going to really be – hard-pressed, nearly impossible to find a team as deep. And then you go into depth, they'll kill you on the depth.
And, Andy, I think there's also – you talked earlier about reaching a certain level. I do think there's something to it. Ohio State, okay, they lost 14 guys to the NFL draft. 14! Yeah. 14 guys. And yet there are people who have them ranked 1, 2, or 3. And you know what? I think it's legitimate because they just reload with talent. So their roster will always be good. So absolutely anytime you start a conversation with Ohio State, that's fine, Andy. You have a legitimate argument for it. And Penn State does not have that pedigree. But I do think that they do have those couple things, the returning quarterback, the veteran quarterback. Very few of these top teams.
Have
the only other team, you know, in that among that top group is Clemson with the returning quarterback.
Yeah, LSU's 7. Now Joel's higher on LSU than some others because of the quarterback. He's got the quarterback for Illinois coming back. That guy's sneaky solid, right? That's probably why they're 10. Because Joel is a big quarterback guy.
And they have a schedule that warrants it also.
They do, but they also proved a little bit of their merit, and the quarterback got better. There's a lot of – Joel likes the quarterback position, as he should, and he's pretty good at analyzing it and seeing what is good, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he knows what it looks like. And that's – I think he's riding the quarterback a little bit here. But, yeah, I – don't disagree with you, Jimmy. I told you earlier, roster-wise, there's a ton of reasons for it.
All right, Andy, that will be the final word for the show. A lot of fun today. Hope you're waking up, Andy. Hope you're primed. Hope you're ready to go out and hit the golf ball.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The Collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.